my understanding is correct, Mr. Jerry Denny was here like in the summer, I think.
Yes.
Okay, did he speak? I guess he mentioned a little bit of Good News on the Move.
Yeah.
And I just going to, this is what I did last year. And in case y'all didn't know, I'm just going to run through it real quick, just very briefly. What's called Good News on the Move, and as the name implied, we have good news and we were moving. this is the verse, I guess you could say, what kind of theme verses I like to have, at least for this team. You can read it for yourselves, but it says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." You know, we are ambassadors for Christ, and we have, it's an awesome ministry. He says he's given us the ministry of reconciliation, something that we don't deserve, but something that we have to be faithful in. This is the team of guys. Maybe some of y'all recognize the background. That's because orientation was at Mountaintop Youth Camp. And so that's some of the guys. Justin and Eric at the ends were our leaders, kept an eye on us. The rest of us, all of this, just got out of, well, most of us just got out of high school. So 21, between the ages of 18 and 21. But it was a blessing. But this year was a little bit different than the past years because we had also girls with us. We had the Humes family, Justin and his wife, and they have 5 blonde girls. And so we inherited 5 nieces. So it was definitely a blessing and like a family. And so, but be praying for them. They're expecting twins in January. And so,
hopefully boys.
Yeah, but, you know, who knows, girls? What else could it be? I don't know. So pray for them. Of course, you can see we got pretty comfortable with them very quickly. Except for some, we don't know what happened there. But some people ask where we went. This is just all the states that we hit. Started in North Carolina, went all the way up to Rhode Island, and came all the way back down to Florida. And then we hit across here, went to Kansas, went across and hit this little section, and went back to Kansas for the surge. Maybe some of y'all heard about the surge. I'm not sure if y'all did. But the Lord really worked there with probably about 5,000 to 10,000 door hangers were hanged and everything. And how many souls profess salvation? There's probably between 30 to 50 that people said souls profess salvation. Of course, God knows the heart, so we can't say that they're saved until we see the fruit. But that's certainly, this is just a basic traveling. Some people ask how the schedule was. You can read it for yourself. Good News on the Move wasn't just evangelism, it was Bible discipleship. So, intense Bible studying and evangelism, I guess you could say. And this is purpose of what Genome was for. And I was looking at the word evangelism. I actually never did this for the English dictionary. But I found it interesting. You see the 2 definitions, 2 different dictionaries. But I found those very interesting, how that's what the world puts a label of evangelism on. How they say it's zealous preaching and advocacy of the gospel and the winning or revival of personal commitments to Christ. And of course, someone read Romans 10. 14, and we were, you ask any of the other guys on the team, there's maybe, well, I think one guy's an evangelist, and any of the other guys, they aren't say, I'm not an evangelist. but it doesn't mean that we can't do the work of evangelists. And, of course, you read, I actually was looking through this again yesterday, and it says, you can read it for yourself, but going backwards, it's like, if you don't have a preacher, they can't hear. If they can't hear, how can they believe? If they can't believe, how can they call on him? And then Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls upon the Lord shall be saved. And this is a very, you can read that for yourself, and that's the last slide for that. But that's a poem I found, and may it be our prayer to at the end. He says, no mark of this world, but his banner unfurled in the beauty of Jesus in me. That's just a brief of what I did. It was a 9 months, September to mid-June, and it was certainly a blessing. I would recommend it to any young man, but this year the leaders felt like there wasn't going to be another genome, so there isn't one right now, but it doesn't mean that there's not going to be in the future, so you can pray for that. And I would encourage just prayer here in North Carolina, maybe for some small work to happen here. You don't have to be on Genome to spread the gospel. And I think it would be awesome to get see a lot more evangelism happen here. I was encouraged to hear of the thing y'all did, Christianity Explored, and I was encouraged to hear, I heard about that. And so that was very encouraging to hear that y'all are reaching out. Unfortunately, I don't think enough of us do it, but it certainly can be improved on. Well, this morning, if you turn to Psalm 44. Psalm 44, and I think we should read the whole chapter. Can I get some volunteers, though, to help me read out? So, Caleb, if you can read, let's say, the first 13 verses. Any other volunteer to help read? Mr. Jonathan, if you can read the next 13 verses 14 to 26. So go ahead, Caleb.
We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in the times of old. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst the favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under the rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever, Selah. For thou hast cast off and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by the price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us.
You make us a byword among the nations, a shaking of the head among the peoples. My dishonor is continually before me, and the shame of my face has covered me, because of the voice of him who reproaches and reviles, because of the enemy and the avenger. All this has come upon us, but we have not forgotten you, nor have we dealt falsely with your covenant. Our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way, but you have severely broken us in the place of jackals, and covered us with the shadow of death. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a foreign God, would not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. Yet for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, Why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our body clings to the ground. Arise for our help and redeem us for your mercy's sake.
Thank you. Before we get started, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, we give you thanks for the time we had this morning, remembering your Son. For Lord, just for everything that He did for us. Lord, we give just all the praise to Him, Lord. Lord, we pray that now as we look into your Word, Lord, that you guide our thoughts. May the Lord be glorified, Lord, and pray that you would lead me by your Spirit, Lord, and that everything that's said, we glorify unto you and lift you, your name. And Lord, teach us what you want us to learn, Lord. May we apply it to our lives. We pray in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I was thinking about, you know, what to share, and some people like to go on a topic, and whenever I don't speak too often, but whenever I speak, I like to share what the Lord's been teaching me. Of course, that's because I can apply it. But, you know, Psalm 44 caught my attention, because if you had to put, I guess, a title on it, it's trust in the Lord no matter what. Trust in the Lord no matter what. You look in verses verses 1 through 3, it gives the Lord his recognition of how he saved them, and it wasn't by their own strength. It wasn't by their own arm. It was his right hand, his arm, in light of his countenance, or your countenance. And then in verse 5, through you we will push down our enemies. Through your name we will trample those who rise up against us. You know, as Christians, we should be, of course, obeying the Lord and following the Lord and trusting the Lord and doing everything through His name. You know, in verse 5, it says, through you, we will push down our enemies through your name. And I think it's important that when we especially do the work of the Lord, but even, you know, throughout our daily lives, that we do things to Him and through Him. That way we give Him the glory, and that way it keeps us in our place where we should be, not exalt us. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I tend to find myself a little bit prideful. And I tend to find myself, well, look what I did. You know, look how I got here. And look all the work that I did for Him. And that's all me, right? No, it's through His name that we will push down our enemies, and it's through His name that we will trample those who rise up against us. Verse 6 says, for I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me. We have nothing that can save us. And verse 7 says, you have saved us from our enemies and have put to shame those who hated us. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever. A good question is, are we trusting in our own, you know, bow, or in our own self? Or is it in verse 8, are we boasting in the Lord and praising His name? This past weekend, that's why actually I have my friend Caleb here from Ohio. We were down at the men's retreat at Mountaintop, and very good with Larry Price. Spoke on Hezekiah. And I found it interesting that what he spoke on Hezekiah is exactly what I've been thinking about. If you could actually just turn over to 2 Kings. And this is kind of goes along with this chapter, I think. But 2 Kings, and this is one of the chapters that we looked at while up at Mountaintop. And if you don't know the life of Hezekiah, just a brief, I guess a brief biography of him is that his dad was evil, his son was evil, and he was good, or he says he's a good king, king of Judah, the south region, but he wasn't perfect by no means. In fact, this is one of the times that the Lord tests him. In 2 Kings chapter 18, and this is just another, we'll keep backing up a little bit. It's the king of Assyria, before Hezekiah, his dad was Ahaz, and he refused the Lord and started worshiping the pagan gods and served the king of Assyria. Hezekiah rebels against the king of Assyria and turns to the Lord. And the king of Assyria comes to him, well, through a messenger, and this is what he says in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 19. Then the Rabshakeh said to him, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust?" Keep that question in mind throughout this. What confidence is this in which you trust? "You speak of having plans and power for war, but they are mere words. And in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Now look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, 'We trust in the Lord our God,' is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, 'You shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem'? Now therefore, I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses, if you are able on your part to put riders on them. How then will you rebel one captain of the least of my master's servants and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Have I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, 'Go up against this land and destroy it.'" And the response, well, you look down in verse 37, says, "Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with her clothes torn and told him the words of Rabshakeh." You know, what is he saying here is, you know, why trust in the Lord? I came up here without the Lord, and look what I'm doing. Why aren't you trusting in, you know, bow down to me, serve me? You know, we all have, you know, we're all individual. We all have our own lives. And some people go through different things. Some people harder, and some people not. But as Christians, it's never going to be easy. At least that's what the Bible says. More than ever, we're going to have the world attacking us. More than ever, the flesh is going to be warring against the spirit. But yet, you know, they're going to say, "Look, you know, just give in. Why are you trusting in the Lord?" But, you know, just some encouragement is just trust in the Lord. I think, at least this is what I was thinking, you know, years ago, or, you know, a couple years ago, is that, you know, when you trust the Lord, everything's all right. And that's true. Everything's fine because it's in His hand. But yeah, I think we have, or at least I did, is that when you trust the Lord, that it's going to be easy. You know, turn back to Psalm 44. And then in verse, you know, beginning verse 9, all the way through verse 17, and even verse 19, I'll read some of those. Verse 9 says, "But you have cast us off and put us to shame, and you do not go out with our armies. You make us turn back from the enemy, and those who hate us have taken spoil for themselves. You have given us like sheep intended for food, and have scattered us among the nations. You sell your people for next to nothing, and are not enriched by selling them." You know, verse 19. "But you have severely broken us in the place of jackals, and covered us with a shadow of death." The psalm writer here says they're near death, yet they're trusting the Lord. This is, I think, one of the few psalms, when you read through the psalms, you read some of these psalms, and it says they're chastised by the Lord because of their sin. But this psalm, you read it, and you won't see anything they did wrong. It says they're trusting the Lord. You know, we read earlier that they recognized that it was the Lord that saved them. It wasn't by ourselves. It says, "We did this through your name. We boasted in you, Lord, and we praised your name." But it says in verse 9, "But you have cast us off," like you've forgotten us. We've come almost near death. You know, I don't know anybody's life situation here. Everyone looks pretty healthy. Nobody looks near death. But yet, we'll still have our struggles. We're still going to... life isn't easy. And yet, look in verse 18. Or verse 17. Back up a little bit. It says, "All this has come upon us," speaking of what just happened, the dishonor, the shame, the almost near death, the brokenness, being like sheep intended for food, being scattered. All this has come upon us, but what's the next line there? "But we have not forgotten you." You know, I think it's so easy where it seems like we cry out unto the Lord and it's still hard. We almost expect it, we cry to the Lord, "All right, I want to be good now." But it says, "All this has come upon us, we still haven't forgotten you. Nor have we dealt falsely with your covenant." They not only didn't forget him, but they obeyed his covenants. They didn't deal falsely with them. This is another verse, probably, I guess you could say, the main verse I want to touch on is verse 18. "Our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way." Our heart has not turned back. You know, I'm only 19. A couple years ago, I thought I knew it all. And I found out that I didn't. I'm only 19. And unfortunately, I have seen acquaintances and friends turn away from the Lord. I have seen that they talk the talk, but then when the situation came up, it seemed like they were opposite of verse 18. It seemed like their heart turned away from the Lord. Their steps, they did depart from your way. And encouragement to everyone here is that no matter what you're going through, no matter if it seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel, I encourage you never to turn your heart against the Lord and to always keep in his ways. Even, it's interesting that you think verse 19 would be before 18, but they say that, and then they say that, you know, verse 19, that you covered us with shadow of death. If you turn back to 2 Kings, 2 Kings, let's see. Well, 2 Kings 18. Actually, verse 19. It says, well, in verse 19, verse 1, and so it was when King Hezekiah heard it, what we just read, that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Hezekiah, when faced with trouble, when faced with the king of Assyria, his immediate response was humility and going before the Lord. Something that the Lord wants. And I can't remember what psalm it is right now. But the Lord is near to those who have a broken and contrite spirit. He wants us to come to Him with humility, though. In verse 3. And they said to him, "Thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth." Verse 4. "It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master the king of Assyria has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayers for the remnant that is left." You know, we didn't read actually in verse 8 or chapter 18. It's interesting that in chapter 18 we didn't read this part, but verses 29 through 33, the messenger, or from King Assyria, he says to all of Judah, you know, don't trust Hezekiah, because on verse 30 he says that straight out, "Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying the Lord will deliver us. This city shall not be given to the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present and come out to me, and every one of you eat from his own vine, and every one from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern." But in verse 33, it says, "Has any of the gods of the nations at all delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria?" And the king of Assyria, in a nutshell, is saying, don't trust him. None, all the other nations, their gods, false gods, have never delivered them. So why trust your God? You know, I think about that. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. You know, just make peace with me. Don't give in. Make peace. It seems like, I think the devil, you know, I heard this a while back. You read how Satan was in heaven and how he's casted down. He didn't want to be above God. He wanted to be even, like God. He doesn't want us to always give in. Just make peace. Stop fighting against me. You know, once that happens, he says, come out. And just like a lion, he's going to devour us. And back in 2 Kings, though, he says, and then he says, but you will have your own vine and your own fig tree. It's important to rely on the Lord so that we're feeding from Him. I'm back to Psalm 44. Psalm 44. You know, and this is the part I also want to, I think we forget, or tend to forget during this time, is that the Lord knows everything. And this is, to keep this in mind, I don't know if you're going through a hard time or not, but keep these verses in mind. Verse 20. If we had forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a foreign god, will not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. Never think that God isn't watching or isn't paying attention. And Hezekiah, you know, it says at the end all this, to test him is a test for Hezekiah. The Lord tests us. And the Bible is clear about that. And we must always, always trust him. In verse 22, it says, yet for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. You know, Paul quotes that in Romans, how they are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And verse 23, awake, why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our body clings to the ground. Arise for our help, redeem us for your mercy's sake. They still trust the Lord. Still. They ask him to still deliver. Try to remember that details. I know there's this, I can't remember his name, but there's this one fellow, and he prayed to the Lord, you know, heal me. And he didn't just pray it once, he prayed it many times. Well, the Lord eventually healed him. And you look at Paul, you know, in 1 Corinthians, he says, you know, Lord, deliver me. Now, we know Paul was persecuted, and the Lord didn't deliver him just like that. In fact, Paul, I think, prayed that three times, Lord, deliver me. And the whole time, he was trusting the Lord. You know, think about whenever it comes up, it's easy to trust the Lord during the good times. It's very easy when everything's going smoothly. But when the tough times get here, that's when it really happens, right? It's when we're really tested. You know, it can be anything. Sometimes I remember, especially these past 2 years, of seeing how many friends have just rejected the name of Jesus Christ, and to me it shocked me. And it was not tough, but in a way it was, because you wonder, you know, why, you know, all my friends are turning away and I'm still here. But yeah, you gotta trust the Lord. Trust the Lord, even you know, make sure you serve him clean. In verse 18. Never let your heart turn back. Always keep in his ways, because God will search you out and he will know the secrets of the heart. And turn your Bibles to Philippians real quick. Philippians chapter 1. Now trust in the Lord and continue faithfully, because this is a promise that he makes. In verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, trust him and his will be carried out. And so, there's some encouragement to always trust the Lord, even in the good times and in the bad times. And, I guess we should just pray. Closing word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for your Son. And Lord, we think about how just salvation is by putting our faith in you, because Lord, it's not by us. And but Lord, help us even as Christians throughout our lives, Lord, to trust you. Lord, help us to be faithful and not ever give in, Lord. Just pray that you would that you complete the good work in us, Lord. And Lord, that we would always just trust you, knowing that you look at our hearts, Lord, and that you search us out. Help us to serve you, every day, seeking to please you. And Lord, we give you just thanks of how you have saved us, Lord. And Lord, give you thanks and pray that we would just glorify you the rest of the day. And give you thanks and pray in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.